I'd like to speak to you for just a little bit regarding this statement that you've probably read before in verse number 6. As we've journeyed through now, we're on the second missionary journey. The second missionary journey. I believe we find four characteristics within our text. I'll give you those in a moment. That can be used today. As the world in this day, said of Paul and Silas. Think about this for a moment. It was the world who said this about them. It said in verse number 6, that these that have turned the world upside down. They have turned the world. Manuel, could you get me one of those two, please? We're outside here. We can be a little less formal. Manuel's going to get it. Thank you. Thank you, Melina. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I'm captivated by that. Thank you very much for getting that. I'm captivated by that it wasn't the believers who made that statement. It was the lost people that made that statement. Thank you so much. And so, I'd like to speak to you on this, turning our world upside down. Turning our world upside down. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Now, we're going to come back here for our outline, but let's go to 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 2, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Unfortunately, Paul and Silas left Philippi from a less than welcoming way. We talked about that last week. Now, God delivered them from prison. The jailer got saved. His house, they got saved. But you know, they didn't roll out the red carpet in Philippi necessarily for them. This happened over and over again, though. And so they are leaving one place. And, you know, maybe it would be a better time in this case to go back to Antioch or go back to Jerusalem. That's what I would think, right? You've just left a city where you were thrown in jail, you were beaten, and yes, God did a great work, but maybe it's time to go back and recoup. Maybe it's time to go back and into one of these areas where you know that, you know, you're going to be received a little bit better, and you can, and there is a time to rest, and there is a time to recoup. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that, but to me, this would have been the time to do that. But that's not what Paul did. That's not what Silas did. The Bible tells us in our text that we read a moment ago that they left and they traveled from one city to the next city and to the final city. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in," what's the next word? Vain. It wasn't in vain. By the way, anytime you're taking the gospel to someone, it's not in vain. Anytime you're taking the truth of God and that God loves this world that we live in and God has provided His Son, Jesus Christ, and God has provided His Word and the church and on it can go. It's never in vain when we're taking the truth of the Word of God to the world in which we live. And that's what Paul says, that it wasn't in vain, our entrance in unto you, to Thessalonica, verse 2. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at where? Philippi. So that's Acts 16. He's saying, you heard about it. You heard how we were treated. You heard how we were suffered, and yet we persevered, though. But notice what it says. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. But even though there was persecution, and even though they had suffered in Philippi, they did not stop. They kept going. Maybe it would have been a good time to rethink the way they were doing the mission work, because it seemed to be happening the same way. We'll talk about that as well here in just a moment. Maybe it would have been a time to go to plan B. Maybe there's a less painful way, physically speaking. Maybe we could do this where we won't be beaten and we won't be thrown into jail. And yet if you read Paul's writing, he says, thrice I suffered shipwreck and I was beaten and all the things that he went through. And yet God was glorified more and more every time. David Livingston said this, I am prepared to go anywhere as long as it is forward. Think about that. I am prepared to go anywhere as long as it's forward. I am so thankful to God's grace and God's provision in 2021 and in 2020, as we as a church, not perfect at all, we aren't. The church of God is perfect, but we aren't. But we have tried to go forward. We have said, God, I don't know how we can go forward right now. This is happening and that is happening. But God, we want to go forward. God, we don't want to go back in our faith. We don't want to go back in our emphasis. We don't want to give the gospel less, hence the gospel mail advance. We want to continue to get the gospel to Burnaby and Surrey and Coquitlam and on all the outlying cities, Port Coquitlam and on it goes. And I'm like David Livingston, not in the sense of his testimony, but I want to be this way in my life. I want to go forward with the grace and goodness of God. This is what I see in Paul's life. He never met David Livingston, right? But yet we see in the Apostle Paul, always going forward. Always going forward. Let's go back to Acts 17 and let me point out four things that God laid on my heart. How can we turn the world upside down that we live in? In case you haven't noticed, this world needs Jesus. In case you haven't noticed, this world needs God's love. In case you haven't noticed, this world needs truth. And by the way, truth is not always kind. It's kind, but it hurts. God, this world in which we live in needs we as God's people to say, how can we turn our family upside down? How can we turn our neighborhood and our community? How can we turn our world upside down? Paul did it and Silas did it and the world said it about him. How can we do it? It's not so we can say we turned our world upside down. I think you know this by now, but we're seeking this for the glory of our God. We're seeking this for the praise of our God. And it doesn't matter how wicked and bad the world gets, there is always hope in turning it back to the Lord Jesus Christ for His honor and glory. It is God's people that need reviving. It's God's pastors that need reviving. It's you and me that need to be moving forward for the grace of God. What do we see? Four things quickly. Number one, we see a determined will. We're going to turn our world upside down. This is what we need. A determined will. The journey was over 150 kilometers from Philippi to Thessalonica. No mass transit. Maybe they had express donkeys. I don't know. They were determined to get to the next place. They were determined to go where God was leading them to go. The Bible says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. Again, it was between all of those journeys. It was over 150 kilometers. Do you think that when they got to Thessalonica, they would have been tired? Yes. Do you think that as they were journeying along the way, they would have been tired? Yes. And I would say that there's times in your life, in my life, where we are seeking to serve the Lord, but we get tired. What must we have? We must have a determined will. We must have a determined will that it isn't in me. It is not in my strength to be a husband. It is not in my strength to be a dad. It is not in my strength or your strength. Excuse me. I'm not a wife or a mother, okay? But it's not in your strength if you have that title. No, it's not in our strength put up tents now every Sunday. God willing, we'll do it for however long he wants us to. It's not in our strength. There must be a determined will that we are going to go forward with God pushing us from the behind and helping us and being our breath, the Holy Spirit of God, and moving us forward by his grace. But there is some determination on our part. We can't just roll over and play dead. And I'm so thankful, Anchor Baptist Church, we haven't done that. We aren't perfect again. But I'm thankful that we're continuing today. Here we are outdoors. Thank God for a beautiful blue sky and a beautiful day and beautiful people here of God and the Word of God. But I pray that we as a church will always have that determined will. Some of you have been through great challenges in your life. You're here today and you have a smile on your face, and yet maybe you have a broken heart today. Can I encourage you? Determine that you're going to stay in the will of God regardless of the broken heart. God knows the broken heart. God saw Paul and Silas with the blood dripping from their body in the inner prison, and God was in that, and God saw them on their journey to Thessalonica, and yet he said all of it was not in vain. It's never in vain when we're living for the Lord. I see, number one, a determined will. I want to encourage you today, ask God. And by the way, this isn't the little train that thought he could and we're going up the hill of life. No, this is asking God, God, help me to have that determined will, not to give up, not to go back, but to move forward. I see a determined will. But secondly, along that line, I see a consistent walk. I see a consistent walk. How are we going to turn our world upside down? Number one, we must ask God to help us to have a determined will. Number two, we must ask God to help us to live a consistent, have a consistent walk. Look at verse number two. And Paul, as his manner was. That's what caught my attention. As his manner was. What does that mean? As he usually did. Consistent. What was he usually doing when he went into a city? You followed along in the journey. You know where he would always go first. He'd go to the synagogue. As his manner was, a consistent walk. Again, not all the time when Paul went to the synagogue was he always received. And so maybe you would think, well, we got to change the way we're doing it. We got to change the way we live. We got to live a little more like the world to win the world. And we got to, you know, maybe not do quite so much in this songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Let's change the music up a little bit. Let's do this up a little bit. Let's change that up a little bit. And no. Let's have a consistent walk. Talking about holiness in Sunday school. Nothing wrong with new songs, by the way. Contemporary means new. We're not against new songs. I listened to a new song last night that Brother Nathan's sister-in-law wrote. A beautiful song, a beautiful hymn of praise to God. But it's a new song. Nothing wrong with new song. I'm so thankful that God has given us his word and God has given us a way to live our lives. May we seek to be consistent as his manner was. Notice, he went in unto them and three Sabbath days. So almost a month, he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. What's taking place here? Well, this is a brand new church that's being established. The church in Thessalonica, of which he would write two letters, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. He would be writing them back to them, but that's what's happening here. Paul is a church planter, isn't he? He's a missionary, consistent in his walk. If we're going to turn this world upside down, if we're going to turn our world upside down, that's what I need. I need to be consistent in my walk. I remember hearing in school many, many years ago, someone preached a message, and I should remember more than this little thing that he gave, but he said, class, 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 chapel, class. By the way, that was our schedule. Class, 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 chapel, class. He was saying every day, Monday to Friday, class, 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 chapel, class. It can become redundant, can't it? It can become a little bit, lose its zeal, lose its spice, if you will. I'm not sure what word I'm grabbing for there. But every day, consistently, We must be in His Word. How do you say it and rephrase it after 20 years? But I just say it like it is. Every day, we must have a consistent walk in the Word of God. There is no way I can make a difference for God if I never open the Word of God. There's no way I can turn my world upside down, whatever my world consists of, unless I have a consistent walk. May it be said of you, and may it be said of me, as it was said of Paul, as his manner was, he went to the chair and got his Bible. Maybe had a coffee or a tea in his hand. And as his manner was, as her manner was, she opened the book every day. As his manner was, he gave out the gospel, and I need to give it out more. By the way, if you need tracts, we have tracts upstairs. I know many of you, we haven't been able to give tracts to. We have stacks of these upstairs. They're doing no good in the barn. That's the barn. We need to get the seed out of the barn. Amen. May it be said of us, as his manner was. I see a consistent walk. Number three, I see a bold witness. A bold witness. Look at the end of verse 2. And three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. We'll talk more about that in number 4. Opening and alleging. This, can you see him in the middle of the synagogue? Here comes Paul. Silas. Boldly. Opening and alleging who Christ was. Christ was not just a prophet. Christ was not just a good man. He comes right into the middle of this religiosity. Because that's what it was. It was a place for religion. And he comes right in and Paul says to them, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Notice what he says there. He says he was dead, but he's alive. He goes right in with a bold witness that he was dead, alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. Jesus suffered at the hands of sinful men, and he died, and he was buried, but he rose again, victorious over all of it. And then in verse and that this Jesus, now remember, there were a lot of people named Jesus in this day. We're told that that was a common name, by the way. But the difference is, Christ, the Anointed One. He said, this Jesus is Christ. So he's not like Jesus down the street. He's not like Jesus across town, right? We have common names even in today, and Jesus was one of them then. It was a common Jewish name. But this Jesus is the Anointed One. This Jesus is Christ, and not everybody in that synagogue would have been thankful to hear that. But he boldly proclaimed and had a bold witness. The same is needed today if we're going to turn our world upside down. We need a bold witness. That doesn't mean a brash witness, but a bold, compassionate witness that we know what this Word of God right here, I guess everything's going to go flying. Time to go back to the iPad, I think. Preaching from the iPad. If I can get used to that again. That we know what this book says. And we can proclaim it boldly and confidently. Remember, who was it that said that? Let's go to verse 6. And when they found them not, they were looking for Paul. They were looking for Silas. Why? Look at verse 5. They were jealous. That's what the word envy is saying. They moved with envy. Took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. What does that mean? They were idlers. They had nothing to do. They were just walking around with no purpose. Come here, I need you to help me. They gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and sought to bring them out to the people. But the Bible says they could not find them. And what was their message? These that have turned the world upside down are come hither. We heard about them before. We heard about them in Philippi. Possibly we heard about Jerusalem. We heard about Antioch. Word had traveled fast. These men that had a determined will. These men that had a consistent walk. These men that had a bold witness. Let me give you one more, but underneath it, I've got four words I want to give you. Number four. How are we going to turn our word upside down? Preach the word. Preach the word. Notice verse 3, it says that Paul reasoned with them out of scriptures. He did not reason with them out of Paul's education. He was very educated. He probably could have outwitted all of them if he wanted to. Brilliant. But what did he use? The scriptures. The scriptures. Preach the word. I want to give you four words that start with a C about the word of God. Why do we need the word of God? Number one, the word of God brings conviction. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God brings conviction. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We said earlier in our Sunday school hour that Jesus came into the temple and he could discern the heart. We can't discern the heart, but the word of God is a discerner of the heart. The word of God brings conviction. The word of God, number two, brings control. It brings control. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God in verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It brings conviction, it brings control. The word of God brings cleansing. John 15:3. The word of God brings cleansing. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Word of God. The word of God brings confirmation. Look at John 5. The beginning of the church in Thessalonica, the religious people said, these men have turned the world upside down. The word of God brings confirmation. Look at John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Preach the word. Go with me lastly to one passage in 1 Thessalonians. Tie this together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians 2:13. This is Paul writing now to the church that has been established. The church that in Acts 17 hadn't been started yet until they came in there and started it. Now he's writing back to the church, these believers that witnessed their determined will. These believers that witnessed, and again, these are not perfect men, but they witnessed their consistent walk. These believers witnessed their bold witness. These believers heard them preach the word of God. Notice what he says in verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. How are we going to turn this world, our world, upside down? We must continually be found thanking God, praising God. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in what? Truth. The word of God. What does it do? It effectually worketh also in you that believe. Oh, I can't say it. I can't repeat it too many times. This book right here is going to be what turns our worlds upside down. It's going to be what turns the next generation. You saw the kids up here just a few moments ago, and praise the Lord. I hope you're praying for these kids and other children that are here today, the younger ones even, than the ones that were up here, and the newborns that we have in our midst today, and the next generation, even the teenagers. I hope you'll be praying for the college and career age young people. I miss seeing our college and career age. We have a few here today, but I miss seeing you. If you're online, I miss seeing you. We're going to turn the world upside down. We must follow the pattern that we see here in Thessalonica. Coming in from one city on a 150-kilometer journey, exhausted and tired, and yet what did they do? As he had done before, he goes to the synagogue, and he's consistent in his walk, and he's preaching the word of God, and his witness is bold, and he's compassionate. What happens? Brand new church is born. And they received what Paul said, but they didn't receive his words. They received the word of God. They received it. Truth. What did it do? It turned their city. It turned their heart. It turned their world upside down. Every week that we've been here, we've had people stop in the alley and ask, what's happening? Every week. Happened again today. God brought us somebody from the neighborhood today. Praise the Lord for that. If we're here for one person on Wedgwood Street to get saved, I say we stay here until that person gets saved. I'm not saying that's why we're here. I'm saying if God has us here for 2 months or whatever, fine. One person getting saved for all eternity that's sitting over here in these houses. There was two guys sitting out here on this bench over here when I left the office one day this week, put my stuff in my car. All I had in the car was a postcard for the anniversary, and a track. And so I said, well, one of them's going to get the postcard, one of them's going to get the track. Hopefully they'll take it. I went over there, and I didn't stay long, but I stayed long enough to know. They said, yeah, we know you're out here. Somebody gave my roommate an RU track. Or they didn't say RU. They said a rehab track or something like that. So somebody gave somebody a lived right over here, right across the street. Probably can hear me right now if they had their window up. I'm not religious, they said. I said, that's okay. I'm not either. Why don't you read that? Whatever God has for us. However God can use us as a church in this very humble fashion, but very exciting fashion, fine. Let's turn the world upside down for His glory. Let's do it the way they did it. Thessalonica. All for the glory of God.